Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Our service today is called A Journey of Spiritual Discovery. How many Netflix people are in the audience? All right. Is anybody watching the marathon of Christmas shows they've had on? Yeah, if you haven't, go into the, menu and just look. They got a ton of Christmas shows on. Ones I've never seen before, but what was kind of exciting is that, of interest to me is they show so many of the human dynamics of the use of faith and hope and believing in the impossible. Yeah, and there's a ton of them. We watched six. You know, seven of them. There are some that were, you know, we didn't watch because they weren't that good, but but there's about six or seven of them that are really, really good. And that for me, the reason why I enjoy that is because in putting together these lessons, it helps me to see these ideas in action. You know, what the human dynamic looks like, from a real human perspective. But anyway, so we're talking about this journey of spiritual discovery, and today we're going to continue with this process of trying to understand who we are really. I was watching a YouTube video that I was putting together for my class, and Oprah was speaking to the graduating class at Spelman College. And to this graduating class, she said to them, "Do you know that you are spiritual beings having a human experience?" That's pretty powerful to put that out there, you know, like that. But that's what we believe, you know. So this year that's gone by has offered us a lot of potential growth experiences. Well, I say potential growth experience because it really depends on whether or not you took the opportunity for the things you went through this year to help you to grow spiritually. Thereby following that idea, okay? You know, and the key is if you are spiritually awake, when things happen in your life, the first place your mind goes to is, what am I to learn from this? What is this here to teach me? Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, now we're moving into a new year filled with possibilities for new beginnings and new awakenings. But that's the sort of the process I would like to see us get into, is that when stuff happens, and we know stuff is going to happen, all right, when stuff happens, your thought is to be open and receptive to the lesson that's embedded in whatever you're going through, all right? And the progress, you know, in our spiritual journey towards spiritual awakening occurs as we are able to break the veil created by our ego. Now, if you remember the story where Jesus was on the cross and when he said, "Father, into thy hands, you know, I commit my spirit," they said the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Does anybody remember that from Scripture? Okay. Well, that veil is the veil between our consciousness and God consciousness. It's the veil that keeps us from knowing that in truth we really are spiritual beings. And our whole ego personality has created that veil. And so what we're seeking to do is to rip that veil or open that veil so we can see the truth about ourselves. And for many of us, it's sort of like the crack in the cosmic egg. And the cosmic egg is every time I say I am and I use a negative term with that, I create a shell around the truth of who I am. It's like an eggshell. And so the crack in the cosmic egg, we've all experienced it. All of a sudden, you see the truth of who you are, and then it goes away. Who's had that experience? You know, you see the truth, and then it goes away. Okay. And part of why it goes away in the study of the Bhagavad Gita is what they call karma yoga, is that when you have meditation experiences where you really touch into the experience of God, and then you come back, and then the ego wants to do what? Go back again, but it can't? Well, the reason why you come back is because you have more karma to work out. You get what I'm saying? Those highly spiritual beings who have worked out all their karma can enter into those dimensions and stay there for a very, very long time. But for us, the reason we would come back is because Spirit says, yes, you know, I know that feels good, but you got stuff still to work on. You got to come back, right? So anyway, in Matthew 13:16, Jesus acknowledged this idea of walking the spiritual path consciously when he said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." And what he's talking about is those of us who get to a point where when stuff happens, you kind of step back for a minute and become still so that you can see, not with your eyes, but with your spirit, what is happening now here in my life. And, you know, the spiritual concept of using our everyday life experiences as mechanisms for learning how to wake up is the way that was demonstrated by the life of Jesus. And, you know, we could see in Jesus' life how he himself was awakening. Like when the centurion came to him and said, "Lord, could you come to my servant is sick. Could you say the word?" And Jesus said, "Well, I'll come to your house." He says, "No, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. You can just say the word." And Jesus was like, "Oh, man, I didn't know I could do that," right? So he himself was going through, you know, awakenings by what was happening in his daily life, okay? And it's written in Mark 1:19 that he wanted to be baptized to sort of accelerate this process of becoming more spiritually awake. So he went to John the Baptist. It says in Scripture in Mark 1:9, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Okay, so that was his awakening. Now, yes, Cecil B. DeMille's would take that, and you see the heavens opening up and the dove coming down. But that's all what happens inside of us, you know, when we get that spiritual touch. And Jesus insisted on being baptized as a spiritual cleansing of his spirit, mind, body, and soul. Now, baptism, as is explained in the Revealing Word, is when the baptizing power of the Word is poured into the center of your consciousness. And that's when you know how you either come here on Sunday or you're reading, and it might be stuff you even heard before, but all of a sudden, for some reason, you got it? Who's had that, right? Okay. Well, that is when the baptizing power of that word poured into the center of your consciousness. And it dissolves all material thought. And through this cleansing, purifying process, the individual is able to see the truth in all things. And you've even had that happen between people in your life where you might have had a struggle in your relationship. And all of a sudden, something they said or did or whatever all of a sudden caused you to realize why this was going on. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that is the baptizing power of the word. And it doesn't have to be a holy word. It can be a child says something to you, or you see something in a movie or whatever, and all of a sudden you get it. Okay? And this is, you know, this is where Jesus had a grand breakthrough, breaking through those aspects of limited human consciousness that keeps us from perceiving the truth in ourselves as well as each other. And this is our spiritual mission as well, that being to break through the veil that keeps us from perceiving the truth about ourselves, as well as being able to perceive the truth hidden in the experiences that we are going through. Okay? And again, in this movie, one of the movies, the person kept saying, "Everything happens for a reason." Now, we all say that, don't we? Everything happens for a reason. A lot of times we don't like the reason that we think is happening, but we know that everything happens for a reason. And so that's the hot idea. So, you know, as stuff happens, instead of us getting dramatically involved in it, again, it's that idea of just stepping back mentally and just being open to what is being offered here. And we talk often about, you know, the great unconscious realm of mind where many of the unresolved issues lie. And again, you know, just from psychology, you understand, you know, we have the conscious mind, the unconscious mind. They don't talk much in psychology about the superconscious mind, but the unconscious mind, that's the place where we got a lot of stuff. You know, as to call Sigmund Freud said, you know, with the 10 defense mechanisms, number one is repression. We push into the unconscious realm of mind stuff that we don't want to deal with, okay? But it's there, but it's still organic. And you know who stirs that up? The marketing industry. Yeah. They'll use commercials and things that will stir up that unconscious energy to get us to do things. And somebody says, why are you doing it? You kind of go, well, I don't know why I'm doing this, right? But it's something that's going on inside of you. So we have these unresolved issues, and they're waiting for us to become spiritually mature enough to deal with them. So if you ever had something come up that you hadn't thought about in a long time, you go, why is that coming up? It's because you've reached a level of spiritual maturity to deal with it. All right? And it is these unconscious, unresolved issues that create the inner lining of the veil that keeps us from discovering the truth about ourselves. So these, you know, we repress it. And most of the time, we don't realize we're repressing it. It's just we couldn't deal with it anymore. And all of a sudden, time goes by and it's just gone. All right? But it creates a lining inside of that veil that makes it even more difficult for us to see and see the truth about ourselves. In an article in Science of Mind magazine, it says, spirit brings unresolved issues to our attention exactly when spirit knows we are ready to address them, grow through them, and put them to rest. Acknowledging to yourself how you really feel about yesterday's packed away shadows allows them to emerge and become obliterated by that divine light that reveals what is truly true, right? And so our thing really in this process of prayer, meditation, contemplation, is to open ourselves up to let those unresolved issues come into our awareness so we can deal with them, all right? And once we deal with them and turn them back into love, then they come back into us as part of us as opposed to something that's opposing us. And Plato wrote, it is not the intellect that matters, but the contemplative love of truth. Meaning instead of dwelling on the challenges in life that are draining you of your faith, love, peace, and joy, contemplate and focus your mind on the truth and then live from that truth. Okay? Now, that means to live from a conscious awareness of the Christ, which is the true essence of your being. Now, those statements like that, I don't even know what to use the word, but they're sort of undefinable a lot of times in our mind. How do I live from the truth? How do I, live from a Christ mind within me? You understand what I'm saying? Doesn't your mind kind of want to, what does that look like? Okay? And so, part of it, is this idea of living from the truth is living from what we call the kingdom of heaven consciousness, or living from that awareness of the love and power that's already within you. As we say, there is a power within us, what? Far greater than anything that exists outside of us. So it's sort of living from that truth. Living from fear, worry, and doubt is living from ego consciousness. We're living from truth is living from the kingdom of heaven consciousness. It's living from the wellspring of knowledge that is of spirit that's already within you. Like the lady at the woman at the well when, she said, give me a drink. And Jesus said, if I say give you a drink, it builds up a wellspring inside of you that you'll go forever. What it's saying is the woman has, you have to go to the well all the time of three dimensional physicality to keep getting your good. But Jesus said, I have food that you know not of. In other words, there was a divine energy in me that's always springing up. All right, and so he said, so when you drink of the cup that I drink from, you have this divine energy always springing up inside of you. Creative people know this. Artists, musicians, people who do a lot of artwork have that thing that springs up inside of them. You hear about athletes who are in the zone, and somebody says, well, every time the ball left my hand, it just went into the bat. I don't understand how, but the next time you can't do it because, now you're going to claim I can do this, I don't know how many golfers are in here, but that's a game that really makes you humble, right? Okay, but you get what I'm saying? We that's the crack in the cosmic egg. There are these moments when we touch into that spiritual essence of us, and then we want to get back there, but the ego wants to get back there. The moment that we tapped into it, we were mindless. You get it? Our mind was not focused on what the ego can do. We just, for a moment, slipped into what I call the alpha state of consciousness. You heard me say it before. They can put scans on your brain, and they can measure where you're in beta, alpha, theta, or data. Beta is what some of you are in. Alpha is that I said something, and you went off, and you can hear me, but you're not really hearing me. You know what I'm talking about? You slip into these alpha states. Delta, I think, is REM sleep, and then theta, one of those is switched around, is REM sleep, and then the last one is you're in a coma. Okay, and they say we go through those all every night. Okay, but through the day, we slip from beta to alpha a lot. Driving, you know, you get to where you're going and don't remember the trip. All right, but that alpha state is where you can begin to slip away from those things that aggravate your mind. And then you touch that essence, and then you pop back into the beta state. Okay, so, you know, when Jesus said, you know, blessed are your eyes, for they can see, he was referring to our spiritual awakening, those who are able to see and comprehend the lessons embedded in what they're experiencing. And so, again, I repeat what Plato said, it's not the intellect that matters, meaning, well, I can figure this out. Rather, it is a contemplative love of truth that sets you free. In other words, I don't need to figure this out. I just need to be open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth flowing through me. Okay? So the word contemplative means predisposed to thoughtful observation. So the contemplative love of truth refers to a person who is predisposed to thoughtful observations pertaining to truth. Truth being the unification of mind with God mind through prayer, affirmation, and contemplation. So somebody sees it, well, what is the contemplative love of truth? It is when I enter into a state of meditation, I enter into a state of contemplation, I enter into a state of prayer where, again, I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. All right, that's the contemplative idea of truth. So this person is more inclined to think about what is truly true in what he or she is experiencing as opposed to getting hung up in the drama of what is occurring. Did that make sense? You want me to say it again? Okay, so this person who has thoughtful observations pertaining to truth, predisposed to, which means the first thing you go to, right? Predisposed to thoughtful observations pertaining to truth, that person is inclined to think about what is truly true in what he or she is experiencing as opposed to getting hung up in the drama of what is occurring. Okay? What is really going on here? So when you get into that mindset of what is really going on here, a lot of times we'll say it out loud, what is really going on here? But that's a whole different thing. You know, what are you really trying to do to me? You know, I'm talking about what is really going on here is when even though you're standing in front of the person or you're in the situation, you're moving back this way. You're going within. And you can even be looking the person in the eyes and you're going within. Because you're open and receptive to what is really happening here. What is my response? What is my responsibility? What is mine to do in this situation? Does that make sense? Okay. So, you know, so that's sort of the idea behind it. So this person, again, is acclimated more to the reality of truth rather than the reality of fact. You get it? Because we'll argue this is the fact, all right? But you ought to be more predisposed to the reality of truth as opposed to the fact. And a good exercise would be to observe, what do you think about most of the time, especially when the peace in your mind or the peace in your world is being threatened? What do you think about? And this observation will give you an idea as to where your mind and emotions are predisposed to go when your faith, peace, love, and joy is being disrupted. Where does your mind go? Is that making sense? Okay. And, you know, as usual, this is easier. It's always easier said than done, right? However, it is a fact that once you experience, listen carefully, once you experience a moment when your mind goes to the contemplation of truth, especially in disturbing situations, it is typical for that experience moment of truth to become a new reality in your thinking and way of perceiving the events and circumstances in your life. Once you have had the experience of going to truth instead of the drama, then you know what it's all about. It's the idea, once you have seen God, you cannot unsee God. You get it? Okay, so that's sort of the idea of it. So when that happens to you, pay attention. You say, wow, I didn't get caught up in the drama. Instead, I went within and I was contemplating an open and receptive to the truth that's really unfolding here. Okay, and again, in Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." He was in essence saying, "You are the one who is capable of expressing truth in all of its aspects." You are the light of the world means you are the understanding principle of mind. You are capable of recognizing and experiencing truth in all of your interactions. You are the light of the world. You are the understanding principle of mind. Now, you are the understanding principle of mind. It's just becoming aware of the fact that I'm the understanding principle of mind. You follow me? None of these things are things we have to get to. They're things we have to wake up and understand this is what I am. Okay? And notice, it didn't say you have the understanding principle of mind. Rather, it says you are the understanding principle of mind. So in actuality, it's nothing you have to strive for. The understanding principle of mind is that aspect of ourselves in which we are striving to awaken to. Okay? So this journey to spiritual awakening is more about self-discovery and awakening to the truth of who we really are. And this will open us up to a new way of interpreting and understanding the world and our life in it. Okay? And that's the whole key. It's just a whole different look. And the thing is, the world, especially what's going on in the country today, offers us much opportunity to practice this, okay, as well as all the stuff that's, you know, going on in our individual lives, okay? So, you know, so the lessons are there for us to work with. And again, being predisposed to thoughtful observations pertaining to truth opens you more fully to the divine guidance that will lead you out of the mental state that is in bondage to materiality and into the freedom of spiritual reality. Okay? It's all about being an open and receptive. It's all about in not in letting your mind react to what's going on, but just coming back and being still. And it's important to realize that spiritual reality is the place in consciousness where you will know the truth that will set you free. Free meaning you will still be in the experience that you're striving to work through, but you will no longer be of it. Did you hear the freedom? Okay. This is not saying that this whole spiritual practice is going to take you out and you know, it's going to just, it's not going to happen to you. It's still going to happen. But instead of you, you know, being in it, you will no longer be of it. What did Jesus say? I am in the world, but I'm not of it. Okay? All this stuff is happening to, you know, around me and to me, but I'm not letting it change who I am. Okay? Because I am predisposed to the Christ within me. Right now, we all, including me, are predisposed to the ego within us. You get it? And this is no condemnation. You follow me? It's all we've known. And now we're learning these new principles, and the ego is going, oh, no, we ain't doing that. You know, we've been good, right? You and me, we've been good, right? You know, ego's doing this to you, right? And you're like, well, yeah, we've been good, you know, but you just have to take on a different role now, okay? And so, and it's, you know, again, the experience will still be a fact, but it will no longer be your truth. That's even when you are, you know, you're hurting, you're ailing, your own physical body is challenging you, you know. It's like my chiropractor said, he goes, you know, don't ever stop moving. I don't care what's going on with you. You know, because the first thing, when, you know, something's hurting us, what do? We ain't going to do nothing about it. Oh, I'm just going to, I got to rest this. He said, no. He says, you know, you got to keep moving. That's actually the new medicine. Yeah, if you're reading about the new medicine, they really don't want you to take drugs. They don't want you to, you know, do it. They want you to do exercise and move your way through this thing you're challenging with. And it's the most challenging thing because it's painful, but you got to keep moving, all right? So this notion we have of wanting to be more spiritual, how many of us want to be more spiritual? Everybody raise their hand. Everybody wants to be more spiritual. I want to be more spiritual. You know, I want to be free of the ups and downs that are going on in my life. It, you know, that's a matter of observing what we are giving glory to. You know, say, I want to be more spiritual, as you're really giving glory to. It's the ego that's saying, I want to be more spiritual. It is not your truth that's saying, I want to be more spiritual. Why? Because it is already spiritual. But the ego wants to be spiritual. You know, if you've got this mindset, then what you're doing is you're giving glory to the ego instead of giving glory to God. All right? It's simple to figure out. If you are afraid, worried, anxious, you're giving glory to your ego. And yes, I agree. This is a very normal state of mind. And there's, you know, there's no denying. Much of the time, it seems that we're avoiding, we are dealing with this annoying fear and worry and anxiety and stuff that's going on. You know, it's just a process. So it's, how do I get myself out of that process? That was last week's lesson. It was a whole shift in consciousness that we have to go through, a shift in reality that we have to go through. But, you know, the first part of awakening is knowing that you're asleep. That's Gurdjieff or Uspensky, one of those said that. If you don't know that you are asleep, you will not try to wake up. That makes sense? So at least now I think we all know we're asleep. That's the first sign. I know that I'm asleep. How many people have had a dream and swore, didn't in the dream know that you were dreaming? And then you wake up and go, oh, man, that was a dream. Right? Okay, well, it's the same exact idea. Right now, we are all asleep. But at least we are aware that we're asleep. And we're going about trying to do those things that will help us to wake up. Okay, so our spiritual work is to remember what Jesus told us, that being that we are the light of the world. And it's our spiritual work to strive to let our light shine, especially in those challenging situations in our lives. Okay, so you work on letting your light shine, stuff happens, but it doesn't put your light out. You get it? Because when times are good, well, we can shine that light. Right? Stuff happens, boom. We put it under a bushel basket, is what Jesus said. Don't put it under a bushel basket, but remove it and let that light continue to shine. Okay? So this is when we need to remember to give glory to God and not to the challenging situation. Okay? And again, in a past Science of Mind magazine, the article was, "'Tis the Season, How to Give the Gift of Your Brightest Light." And the author writes that a great first step towards spiritual illumination is to invite it. Meaning stuff happens in your life, don't invite that drama that comes with that. Invite your light instead. Right? So inviting, he said, a great mantra or jingle to use. I like the word jingle because, you know, there's nothing I would eat in McDonald's. But if I hear McDonald's jingle, what happens? That's what's in my head all day, the McDonald's jingle, right? But I would never go into McDonald's, right? But anyway, so that's the process. But oh, I'm sorry. I hope they're not watching. This is going to be on TV, right? I might get mugged by, what's his name? Ronald McDonald, right? But anyway, a great mantra or jingle to use daily to invite greater spiritual illumination into your heart, mind, body, and soul are the words from a song that we have sung before. And listen to these words. Now think about this. You know, you're going through your day and you're singing, open my eyes that they may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Put in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. And open my heart and let me prepare love for everyone thus to share. Amen.